Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's happening, Chicago Bears fans? This is T-Formation Conversation. I'm your host, Lester Wildfong, and this one feels kind of strange because I'm actually here with my Bear and Bounce co-host, JB, and he's usually, you know, steering the ship here when it's the two of us talking, but today it's my show, and so I want to say, JB, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. My hands are off the controls, so I'm not going to do anything from here on. I am happy to be a repeat guest on T-Formation Conversation.
I know. The reason we're doing it this way is because I wasn't at camp today. I'll be at camp tomorrow, and I'll be at camp on Saturday with you, but I wasn't at camp today, so I want to get your expert take on the kind of stuff you saw when you were at training camp today down in House Hall. But before we get into the stuff that happened on the field between the lines, I got to ask you, how is the overall vibe down there? Because last year it was at House Hall, but yeah, there was excitement of Justin Fields, but we all knew it was Andy Dalton, the QB1. No matter what happened in camp, it was Dalton was going to be the guy, Fields the backup. This year, new vibe. So how was it from your perspective being in camp?
Yeah, it was great. Last year, I felt like the attendance was down because they really messed up the ticketing, right? If you remember, they had kind of the lottery system. A lot of people signed up for a bunch of days. They only got one day, and then a lot of people just didn't go. You know, we tried on Twitter to help reallocate tickets, move some from people that couldn't use them into people that could. It just didn't happen enough to fill the stands. Today, stands were filled. Last year, you had this sinking feeling that this wasn't going to work. You know, you just had some odd decisions by George McCaskey. You had odd decisions by Matt Nagy. You know, Justin Fields wasn't getting reps, right? So last year just had this weird kind of like ho-hum feeling. This year, man, I mean, this is Justin Fields' team on the field, off the field. The crazy number of number one jerseys at House Hall today. I called it an army of one jerseys. I mean, it was insane. I was standing on the pathway, and there were eight people, eight young men, teenage kids, whatever, walking down the path. All of them had Bears jerseys on. And at some point they all kind of, I could see all eight of them at the same time. It was 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. The only difference was one of the guys had the away jersey. The other seven had the home jerseys. It was insanity. And every time Justin Fields did anything, there was this, you know, eyes glued on the field, you know, everybody's holding their breath. And then Trevor Siemian come in or Nathan Peterman come in and they just kind of look away and they do something else. Like, it was all about Justin Fields. They have a superstar.
Can you imagine what will happen in this city if Justin Fields is good?
Like, exactly.
Oh my God. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm pretty old. I've never seen a legitimate franchise quarterback for my favorite team in my life. You know, I mean, it's like, can you imagine Justin Fields, if he actually lives up to the hype, if he lives up to all the potential, this town would go nuts for that guy.
Yeah. And it's not just, it's driven by the younger generation. I mean, that was pretty clear, but the sense was all shapes, sizes, ages, like everybody was just behind this young man. And so it's very exciting to see what he can do. And his presence on the field, he does look like he owns this team. He runs this team. So that's good to see.
That's what you want to see definitely out of your franchise quarterback. So let's get into the stuff on, because like I said, I want to bring you on because you were there today. You were at House Hall this morning. You took in the whole practice and Twitter was a buzz because Tevin Jenkins was not practicing. Now, was there anything going on there? Did you hear anything when you're at House Hall? I know there's some stuff came out after the fact, but like, what was your initial reaction when you heard that no Tevin Jenkins today?
Yeah, sometimes you just don't see somebody, right? And sometimes that's hard. You're like, oh, hey, there's Schofield. Oh, hey, you know, there's Riley Reiff. That's good to see. Hey, Cody Whitehair's there. Yeah, Cody Whitehair looks pretty good, right? And so you're seeing these linemen all kind of line up. And I was like, where's Jenkins? Where is he? And he just didn't show up. He wasn't there. Again, there's a lot to try to take in camp. But I didn't really find out exactly what was going on with Tevin Jenkins. So it just, his absence was notable. But it, you know, you move on.
So it came out, I guess, at some point, I literally just got home minutes before we went live here. So I was in the train commuting. I was actually listening to our new podcast while I was on the train, Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl and Dylan Ryan. That was a nice show. So I didn't get a chance to go through too much Bears news, but I did see that apparently Tevin Jenkins woke up with something wrong. Back stiffness, that's, of course, the Twitter speculation. Who knows? I mean, this day and age, if you wake up and you have a cold or some sort of stomach ache or something, right away it's, oh my God, does he have COVID? Let's be cautious. Let's get him tested. So who knows what happened with him, but they didn't act like it was a big deal. So I'm assuming he's going to be fine. But he wasn't the only missing offensive lineman, because also during the practice at some point, brand new center Lucas Patrick exited what turned out to be a thumb injury. Did you have a chance much to see Patrick when he was in there? Did he look okay, or was it just too quick to get a real feel for what he was like?
It was kind of out of nowhere. Nicholas Moriano actually said, "Hey, I don't think Patrick's in there anymore." And I looked, I'm like, "Oh no, that's Kramer." And there was a false start. They get on the ball. It was like a 2 minute drill kind of thing. They got on the ball, they went to snap it, and the center didn't snap it back. And I was like, oh, Lucas Patrick, that's on you, buddy. And then like 2 minutes later, realized that Patrick wasn't in there. And I was like, oh, that probably wasn't him. That was probably Kramer. And so he just kind of exited out of nowhere. We didn't really pick it up right away. It was, we were following Twitter as well and saw a tweet from Brad Biggs who picked it up. And so it wasn't something that was, it wasn't a notable injury. Certainly it wasn't like the Ryan Jensen thing down in Tampa. So
that's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like we had one of those situations, but I did find it interesting that Kramer came in and it wasn't sliding Mustafa over and getting another guard in for Mustafa. So it was Kramer that filled in with that number two.
I was going to ask you about that, because in years past, as Bears fans, we've seen the Bears do an O-line shuffle, whether it's with white hair going from guard to center, center to guard, wherever it was, or guys kicking inside. So like you, I thought it was interesting that Doug Kramer was the next man up. I mean, there is some more experienced guards in a roster. So I was thinking when I first saw the news about Patrick that it was going to be must for kicking over. So maybe this tells us that they view Doug Kramer as more of the center of the future.
Yeah, it certainly could be. I mean, it's hard to tell without the pads on. That's always my caveat with anything O-line related. It's that, you can't really tell. They did keep the same lineup from OTAs. It looked like the same guys that we were hearing about from the OTAs, where you had, Braxton Jones with the first team, things like that. That won't last forever, right? Yeah. I mean, that's going to be Riley Reiff's position, obviously, when he rounds into shape and understanding where the play calls are at. But good to see a young guy get those opportunities. But it's really tough to tell without pads on. It's just more of noting who's in with who. Like who's playing when Justin Fields is taking snaps, and when they say twos, what does that do, and changing things out. But it was pretty much what the OTAs had delivered to us in terms of information. Do you mute yourself?
So my idiotic dog is nonstop barking downstairs right now. I don't want it to come through when I'm on the pod here. So, but anyway, that brings us to some thoughts on the O-line. Like you said, there's no pads,
right?
There's nothing going on here. I mean, they're basically shells. They're in shorts. The pass pro, you get a little better feel because you're doing something, but you can't really tell what's going on here. As far as, there's no run blocking, there's no drive blocking, there's no combo blocking, there's no physicality. So it's hard to get a sense on the O-line, but like you said, it was the same group. It was Reiff at left tackle a little bit, but Braxton Jones did get the start today. I saw, correct?
Yep. Correct.
Now, going forward, we all think that's going to be Reef's going to be the left tackle there. Okay. And then it was Borum on the right side with Jenkins gone. It was obviously Borum. Did they work anyone else in at that spot at right tackle that you saw?
I didn't pick up on that. I'm sure they did. I mean, there was a full two lines, so I'm sure that they were working somebody else. But again, lots to take in at camp. It would be great definitely. If I could take in everything at once. I was trying to give a little bit more time to the wide receivers and the DBs, given that's another, interesting piece of all this. And you can tell maybe a little bit more on those reps, because those reps aren't going to change that much when the pads come on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all assuming if Jenkins is fine, he'll be in the mix at right tackle. The newcomer Schofield will be in a mix at right guard. You know, just it's going to be fun to watch these guys. Now, the first padded practice is not till, I believe, next week, correct? So tomorrow and then Saturday when we're there, still it's going to be shorts and shells.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for two guys like us who would like to watch some of the line play, but I'm trying to force myself to enjoy the other parts of the game, the 7-on-7 piece. So that's what I focused on today. I took notes during 7-on-7. It's a weird universe, you know, for linemen to watch 7-on-7 because it's like, we're the big guys. Yeah. But I'm trying my best.
So with no physicality, with no hitting, you know, we're going to see these guys get worked condition wise. And we saw that today. The Matt Eberflus hits philosophy, of course, stands for hustle, intensity, takeaways, and playing smart. And we saw the hustle part of that stand out today because Coach Flus was on some guys for not hustling, correct?
Very early in practice, there was a play where Eddie Jackson just didn't hustle. And he got called out, and he got called out specifically. And it was, you know, something to the effect of, that's not full speed. Run. And do it again. I heard that multiple times. Nice. So that was fun to hear. And, you know, I mean, you know, I think that that's a nice change of pace. And there was a little later on where Eddie got called out for not finishing a rep. And so he had kind of an up and down day. He had a couple of standout plays and a couple of splash plays, but you know, he didn't have that 100% effort on every play, which is what they're looking for here. And so that he got called out for it and I think that's what you like to see.
Well, it's a mentality, it's a change in culture. I mean, this is the first practice for these guys too. Yeah, they had some OTAs, but you know, the intensity picks up as the offseason goes on, and these coaches expect these guys now to be at that level, the intense level. Yeah, they're not hitting, but they expect that, you know, at all times right now. And it's if the coach don't see it, it's good that they're going to call him out. But a lot of people on Twitter right away say, oh, that's Eddie Jackson, lazy. He's learning too. You know, it's a culture change. It's they're not used to this, you know, balls to the wall, you know, go all out every single rep, you know, where they're tracking loafs. You know, they're not used to this. It's going to take them some time to get used to it, but I think at some point this will be the standard, and that's the goal.
Yeah, and it does say something that, you know, Coach Eberflus is going to be willing to go after an established veteran, a guy that gets paid quite a bit, and, you know, hold him accountable to the same level that he holds everybody else, right? And so there is probably some level of strategic decision making there by the coach to say, I'm going to call it out. I'm going to call it out by my stars. I'm going to call it out by my rookies and everybody in between.
Yeah. And then, you know, speaking of stars, I mean, Justin Fields, we talked about at the top of the show. I mean, he was, you know, he's the guy that everyone wants to see. And, you know, he didn't have the best of days. I saw in your notes article, you had him tracked going 5 for 10 during one of the team sessions there. So, you know, but Fields to Mooney, that was on display a little bit today at practice.
Yeah, I think Mooney looks good. I think that he went to him enough, but not over too much, right? Like, I think, you know, he's just throwing to Mooney. You know, a lot of Mooney routes were a little shorter today, and then he had one play over the middle of the field that was like star-level play. I thought it was going to be a pick. And then all of a sudden, Mooney just comes into the frame, snatches it out of the air. I think I got a pretty good picture of it. And again, we can only take pictures legally at practice. We're not allowed to take videos. So if you see videos, those we were expressly told to not do that. Yeah. But, you know, good for them. I'm going to follow the rules because that's the type of guy that I am. So I tried to put a lot of pictures up there, and I think I got that one. It was a really cool play right over the middle of the field and in the middle of traffic. And Justin Fields made a few of those throws today. A lot of his stuff was pretty short. A lot of it was checked down because the first couple options were covered, which is fine, right? I mean, you don't want him thrown into traffic in practice because he'll do that in the games, but maybe not the a highlight reel worth of amazing throws today, but he made some solid throws, and a lot of them were to Mooney, and Mooney was pretty sure-handed.
So one thing about the offense, you know, I saw some tweets from you and from other guys that the Luke Getsy style, the Shanahan style offense was on display, that you guys noticed some more out of the pocket bootleg stuff. Is that true out there? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You could tell that they were going to incorporate some play action. He booted him out a few times. There was one time where he booted out. The throw wasn't there, so he took off. And again, no one's going to hit Justin at all in any of this camp. But, it was good to see him say, okay, I don't see it. I'm gonna tuck it and run, even though, he could just as easily try to force a pass. And so, the willingness to run with that elite speed that he has was good to see too. But yeah, they're willing to incorporate the things that are going to take advantage of his athleticism and the things that he does well. That's exactly what we want.
You know, of course, we can't see the play action game because that hasn't been part of it. They're not live yet. But like you said, it's all part of it. It's all the timing of it getting down. You know, there are certain things they can do in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. And then even with the one-on-one drills, Justin Fields was actually on Bears All Access today on the way home. And he was talking about how important those one-on-one drills are because you get a chance to see them, specifically how they work their routes. And that's good for a quarterback. And again, we're talking about Justin Fields going into camp. You know, he knows he's the man now. He's getting all these reps. These reps are so critical for him, this whole camp-wide because he needs these moving forward.
Yeah, and honestly, I would transition over to Cole Kmet if you want to talk about one-on-ones.
Let's hit it.
The most impressive one-on-one today was Cole Kmet beating Eddie Jackson with Justin Fields as the quarterback. Kind of a longer route. I think that probably would have been one of those where he's kind of maybe under pressure and kind of find it. Eddie kind of gave up on it and that he got called out on that. That was one of those. And then there was a rematch, round two. And it was, I believe it was Peterman or Simeon. I'm sorry, I can't remember at this point. I have it in the tweet. Might have been Peterman. Kmet just took him deep. Just ran up the seam and beat him pretty clean and, kind of stretched out for a really nice grab. It was great. And then a little later on in team drills, Justin Fields, or no, this was the 7-on-7. Fields found him on his last pass. So he had not had a great 7-on-7. I think at that point he would have been 4-for-9. And the four that he had were all underneath throws. And he went deep, in the middle of the field to Kmet, and Kmet came down with it. Honestly, it was the best play of the day. Yeah. And so Cole Kmet just really great in this practice. And so you hope that he's going to start stacking that together. And this will forecast a really nice year for him.
I've been a little higher on Cole Kmet than most. I just like what he brings to the table on the offense. And, today there are a lot of Bears fans that are Cole Kmet fans taking victory laps. But, this is one day, still it's they're still working on things. Even Cole Kmet said at his press conference afterwards that, the offense still is a big work in progress. But you look at Cole Kmet down the seam, he's catching the ball. He's 6'5". He's 6'6". He's a big bodied guy. And a lot of fans look at him as they think he's this lumbering guy. He ran a 4.7 at the combine. I mean, it's not like the difference in a 4.7 and a 4.6 is like really small. Travis Kelce's a 4.6 guy. He plays faster. He looks faster on the field. I'm not saying Cole Kmet's that, but Cole Kmet's not just this old school lumbering Y. I mean, he has some speed. And if you use him correctly, where you can get him down the seam between zone coverage, that's a great way to use Cole Kmet.
Tight end is one of the hardest positions to make an impact early.
Yes.
And so if you're looking at the trajectory of a tight end, this is when Cole Kmet will make a leap if he's going to. And then there's nothing guaranteed, but this is the time that he's going to do that. And so if you want to still get some chips on Cole Kmet, now's the time to put him down because I think the price is going to start going up.
60 catches a year ago. I mean,
he's
fine. He's fine. So, hey, I'm going to take a quick commercial break here, and then we're going to jump back in into some more stuff right after the break.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And we are back. This is T Formation Conversation. I'm here with my Baron Balanced co-host. You can find him at Gridiron Born. That's JB, of course. And I'm, of course, at Wilt Fong JR on the Twitter. And look, we talked a lot about the offense, but you know, defense probably won the day today. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think they had the upper hand. They looked a little better throughout the practice. Obviously, there's a little bit of give and take, and I think what's funny at a training camp practice is that the crowd always seems to cheer for the offense, right? Yeah. They want the offense, and it's like, well, those are our guys making the play over there too. So it's kind of fun when a guy makes a good defensive play. There are still a lot of good cheers, but I think they're overall, you want to see the big throws and the big catches. But I would say that the defense had the upper hand today.
So at the top, we talked about Tevin Jenkins missing practice. You know, it's kind of one of those things no one knows yet. Also missing practice today was Thomas Graham Jr., who had been running with the ones at the nickel position. So today it was rookie Kyler Gordon getting a tons of reps at the nickel. A lot of the beat guys were really praising what he did today. A lot of you and Sam as well. A lot of the guys were just talking about how, you know, Gordon stood out, and the coaches talked about him again afterwards. And, you know, Kyler Gordon throughout, you know, the OTAs was working outside. But I guess the plan all along was to work him inside as well, because they think he's the guy that can do both. Did Kyler Gordon pop for you today when at practice?
Yeah, I mean, it was noticeable, and it was good to see that they're willing to do that and put a lot on his plate and feel comfortable with putting it right. I mean, this is two positions that they're asking this rookie to understand and know. And if he's able to master both of those, that gives them so many opportunities to shuffle guys around in the secondary, you know, not just with injury things, but, you know, hey, this opponent that we have has a guy that's really great in the slot, and he's a little bigger. And so we don't really like that matchup with Thomas Graham because he's given up too many inches. And so we're going to slide Gordon in to try to take him away. I mean, those are really nice things to have. And I think with Brisker, Dane Cruikshank was the guy on the roster today.
Yeah.
You know, the pictured guy on the roster.
Strange.
Right. It is strange, but
first day of camp, that's the guy they picked to put out there.
It was a little odd, but if you think about it, now you have a lot of guys in that secondary that maybe you feel comfortable moving those pieces around a little bit, and you're going to play more matchup football. So I was really curious to see if today will lead to a game down the road where we see him maybe line up more or even primarily in the nickel to try to take away a slot receiver down the road.
Yeah, I think he has that skill set. And our WCG colleague, Robert Zaglinski, he had a tweet earlier today. It said, maybe they're grooming Kyler Gordon to be a guy that can kind of move around and off an offense and take the guy that's a better matchup for him. Like you mentioned, with a guy like Graham, who's not quite as big, you know, if the matchup's better with Gordon to the slot, he's shown he can do it now. Maybe this is what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I think it's a really good insight by Robert. I came to the same conclusion as well, that, you know, that's really good thinking. And we shouldn't be shocked, because this is a head coach who is a good defensive thinker. And if he's the first two picks were defensive backs, and they probably have some idea of how they can to challenge modern offenses, you need modern schemes and modern players on the defense. And I think that's what Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker represent. And I think that you're seeing maybe the initial pieces being shown here that we're going to see come to fruition down the road.
You mentioned Brisker. A lot of talk about Brisker, you know, through the offseason and the stuff he did at Penn State was that he's a guy that can play in the box.
Right.
He does more than that, though. He can cover too. Yeah. I mean, he is a good all around athlete. He's a good all around safety. That the pairing with Eddie Jackson makes more sense to have Brisker kind of go up because, you know, he is a little more physical. But let's not take away his coverage skills too. So you mentioned Gordon, you know, Brisker, Jalen Johnson at the other corner, Eddie Jackson, as much as he gets criticized, he can cover. So the secondary goes from last year was a train wreck, and now this year you're like, man, there's some pieces there. These guys could probably be one of the better, you know, groups on the entire team.
I think with Gordon allowing you to maybe go into nickel in certain situations, with Brisker and Cruikshank allowing you to play big nickel, where you have three safeties on the field at the same time. One of the best defensive plays today was Eddie Jackson came off the edge out of nowhere, came off the edge and had a pressure on a blitz. And I was like, okay, like this just might be, you know, the first sign that this is going to be the strength of the team. And they're going to use this in as many creative ways as possible to mess with opposing offenses. And I mean, again, it's one practice. It's the first practice that we're able to see. But I was left thinking, man, I'm really excited about this secondary.
You know, I saw that the tweet when you mentioned with Eddie Jackson off the edge, and you know, a lot of Bears fans right away look at this and say, that's not the Tampa 2. Well, this is not the Tampa 2. You know, the Tampa 2, it's an evolved version of the Tampa 2. So, you know, Eddie Jackson last year thrived when he was up playing in the slot as a nickel, so to speak. He thrives in that coverage area. So if you bring him up, that's where he's been comfortable. He can do that. You know, teams have seen him do that. Now you blitz him off the edge. And if you trust your other guys you have with Brisker, you know, back, it opens things up for that defense.
You look around the league and there's plenty of guys that are doing that, right? Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu, Buda Baker, right? There are, you know, Jamal Adams as a safety walking down in the box and coming off
Collins,
the edge, right?
A lot of these guys, yeah.
Yeah, and so why not Bears, right? Like, why not us? Why can't we see some of this happen in Navy and Orange? So I'm getting pretty excited. I think having a defensive guy that is going to push the envelope and be creative, that could be a lot of fun. I'm all for it. Let's use what we have to the best advantage for the Bears.
All right. So I'm going to preface this again. This is the first
play.
Yep. The first day when the fans are there, but in your opinion, who was the best player you saw on offense today?
Cole Kmet. I think he just had the best. I mean, just stood out to me as having a great day, separation away from Eddie Jackson, which was really impressive. And then coming down with that ball in the middle of double coverage. And three great catches. And, you know, without those, Justin Fields has a terrible day.
Yeah.
So with those, you can kind of say, yeah, Justin did okay.
You just used Cole Kmet and separation in the same sentence.
I know, from Eddie Jackson, who's not exactly a small, a slow guy. Right. So he played well. All right. He had a good practice.
That clip was on Twitter. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, you can't film it, but people film it. So it was on there, and it did look like he put a nice little move on Eddie Jackson. You know, part of that is because, you know, these receivers under Nagy weren't allowed to do certain things that I think they could thrive at. You know, I think with this new regime, the little nuanced double moves, I think it might make a difference this season.
Yeah, and I think it was a double move. There was a couple times where a guy did like a triple move, kind of, you know, and it was like, okay, that's not ever going to actually happen in a game. You know, like once I see that, I'm like, okay, I'm ignoring that rep. And most of that was guys down the board, right? These are guys that are, 78th on the roster, yeah, kind of guys. I saw that a little bit. I just kind of ignore that stuff, but that was a legitimate route that he ran.
Okay, let's flip it over. Let's go best player on the defensive side of the ball.
Might surprise you, but Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
So he had a really nice pass breakup early. It was on the far side of the field. He had a good pass breakup, and he got up and kind of did a dance. And like guy had some moves, and I was like, all right, that's kind of fun. Got the defense was really into it, and then he had a pick. Really nice pick, kind of laid out for it and got up and then ran it back. And then he, like, they celebrated the end zone. And I just was like, all right. Like, I mean, guy makes plays. That's what you have to do when you're, you know, that guy on the roster to get some notice. And so I have to give him his props today, because he had two great plays and really stood out to me.
There was someone in our Twitter mentions saying that he's a Cornhusker guy, and he said Lamar Jackson's a real deal. I mean, he hasn't had a chance to show up much in the NFL. I think he was with the Jets a little bit. As a rookie, he played, I think, you know, most of their games. But, you know, the Jets, you know, a couple of years ago were really bad. So, you know, last year he was a practice squad guy, but, you know, he's 6'2". You know, he's got some size to his game. He seems like he's physical from the stuff I watched. I remember when he was coming out as a UDFA, I think it was EJ talked about him a little bit. And I mean, there's going to be an unheralded guy that comes out of nowhere that, you know, as fans that we all like, oh, that's the next guy. But I mean, it's going to happen. We see with teams all the time around the NFL, guys you don't expect to be players just become players.
And that's what opportunity gives you, right? Like if you had veterans stacked all over the roster, then you wouldn't have those opportunities. You wouldn't have those reps available for younger guys to maybe take advantage of that opportunity, right? And so you have a lot of young guys, and that's like you mentioned, Taylor's show, you know, it's going to be focused all on these first contract guys. There's potential for a lot of those first contract guys to be a major core piece of this program going forward. And so you get to see the early stages of that. And that's what's really fun, right? Now Lamar Jackson might get cut next week. Who knows? Yeah. Like, we don't know any of this stuff. But, you know, you see something like that, guy makes a couple plays, and that can build some positive momentum and maybe earn a roster spot for the guys. So again, you have to take each practice for what it is, but over the scope of what we're able to see over the next dozen practices in the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, I think we can start to see who's going to step up and who's going to be part of this team long-term.
Nice. So I do want to ask you now, you had a breakfast tweet this morning.
Yeah.
At Robbie Gold's, best bagel restaurant. Was this in Vernon Hills there, or where was it at?
I don't really, I'm sorry, I'm gonna expose myself for not knowing the Chicago suburbs very well.
It's Lake County. What was the name of it?
Big Apple Bagels.
I think that's Vernon Hills right there.
It was south. I mean, it's south of where I'm at. So I mean, there might be multiple locations, but probably. There was no one there when I got there. I was like, oh, this looks like a good bagel shop. I pulled up, there's no one there. It's like a dead parking lot. And I get in there, I'm like, all right, we'll see, you know, ordered lox, which is what I always order at a bagel shop. And I look up and there's Robbie Gold. Well, not literally, but there's a picture of him. Yeah. And then it's framed and he has signed it. It says best bagels in town. So I haven't had a bagel in a long time and it was good. So I would concur that, you know, it's a good bagel shop, but I don't know much more than that. I randomly found it.
And then I got to ask you, you know, cause you are from Iowa. So what'd you have for lunch today? Anything exciting?
We went out to a pub in Libertyville because that's like Sam's stomping grounds. And
was it Bill's pub by chance?
No, it was, sorry. I can't remember now. But the everybody liked their food. I had a pale ale, so everybody can be proud of me for not drinking a dark stout beer. It was
nothing with chocolate in it.
Just a pale ale. So that was good. And then tomorrow we should go do something more Chicago-ish because I mean, I can get a brew pub anywhere.
Yeah, I need to get a Italian beef or something. I mean, I live locally. I live in Kenosha, right over the border. It's not like it's hard to get, but you know, I don't do it often. So I think tomorrow for lunch we're gonna have to take in something more Chicago-y.
I'm in. Okay.
All right, sounds good. And that is, I'm gonna give you last thought. Any more thoughts before I sign this off?
No, I'm excited to take it in tomorrow with you, and we'll see, you know, who else pops out, and you know, just keep building on this narrative. And you know, I think if we can get as many people on, and we'll cover the first three practices, and then we'll try to keep getting people on to help us understand what's happening at camp and help understand this first part of the Eberflus story.
It's fun. But that is it. This is T from Edge Conversation. Once again, you guys can follow JB at Gridiron Born. Give me a follow on Twitter at WiltFongJR. You can follow the site at WC Gridiron. You can also follow our YouTube channel at Second City Gridiron. So all the socials are there. Make sure you subscribe, link, follow, whatever it is. And until next time, bear down, my friends.